There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Give it to me.
Hi, I'm Rich Straffolino.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we analyze the hottest trends and happenings and the things that are, well, things by our not yet patented, but still scientific method of poking our heads out of our caves, taking our eyes off of our children, looking at our phones, and finding out the things that are in our universe. Thanks for joining us.
If you think Molly sounds different this week, that's because that's not Molly. Molly is taking a very well-deserved vacation, sending us pictures of her immaculately painted nails, while Rich, our producer, Rich Straffolino, steps in. Thank you, Rich.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. It was very weird when the music starts. That's usually right when I mute my mic. So
it's a good thing you didn't do that.
Break reflex. Yes, it would have been very awkward.
But we are going to continue on. We've got some great things that you sent in by email, and I am going to start with a thing that I think you will have a different appreciation of than Molly might have, but still will appreciate. Henry Cavill's nerddom.
Is this in reference to the PC building video that was making the rounds?
That is the inspiration for the pick, but it is not solely in reference to that. Mm-hmm. Henry Cavill, for those of you who don't know, Sarah Lane, Henry Cavill played Superman in many of the DC movies. He played The Witcher in the Netflix series The Witcher. He was in, I think, Mission Impossible, Man from U.N.C.L.E., several other movies, but he's most famous as Superman. And he is nerdy. He talks about playing video games. He wears his Superman shirt around the house, or at least according to his Instagram. Like, he likes being Superman. He likes being The Witcher. He plays The Witcher. And of course, the most recent thing he did was on his Instagram, do a video of himself building a PC.
And not just that. I mean, there was soundtracks. There were
There was Barry White.
I would say bits built into that PC building video, and he had some skills putting together, or at least skills in reading a manual and following the instructions.
Yeah, I wondered if, like, okay, he's an actor. Somebody could have scripted this all out, told him what to do. He did a few takes, you know, to make sure, and then he filmed it. That still could be, but he did acknowledge when he did things wrong.
Yeah.
Which is either a very detailed script or him actually knowing what he was supposed to do and, like all of us, making mistakes and going, wait, crap, got that wrong.
Watching him socket the CPU was very nerve-wracking. I was like, just look for the dot in the corner. Henry, come on.
And that's another reason that I think it's like, yeah, this looks like a person for the first time building a PC who knows generally what it's supposed to be in there because he's used PCs before but has never actually done it. So I don't know. He is a very good actor, you know, but I think he really did build a PC for the first time successfully. Good job, Henry Cavill.
Yeah, and you know, for the longest time, I would say like when you think of like geeky or celebrities with geek cred, something like that. Like, to me, or nerd cred, I guess. I always think of like Vin Diesel because, you know, he's very famously like a D&D player. But I feel like as geek culture is culture that, you know, regardless of whether you're Superman or Groot or whatever superhero in our all cinematic universe, movie universe that we'll have in the future. Letting those nerd flags fly. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. And it's just been building over the years. So the PC building video, obviously the most recent example, but I feel like he's always dropping some nerdy stuff and in a way that makes me feel like it's real. So again, actor could be just really good at it, which is fine, or he's really nerdy, which is also quite possible, and is what I prefer to believe.
And that particular video was a very well deserved breath of fresh air, which I think was another reason it kind of catapulted outside of the celebrity aspect. It was a bit of nerdy innocence, I guess, that was well deserved.
Yeah, yeah. And he had said in a previous interview that he had never built a PC, but he wanted to try. So this is feels like him actually following up on that.
Now I want to see him do like Linux from scratch. That's like the next step I need. Out of
Post.
Henry
yeah.
Cavill. Yeah.
Linux to Post. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We're putting it out there, Henry. Your move.
Well, the for my first thing, this is maybe, and maybe Henry Cavill does this. I don't know, but it's definitely something that once I have seen it, now it is eating up every time I go out of the house, which admittedly not a ton, which I think speaks more to the fact that I'm seeing the thingness of this, and it's the hanging the mask in your rearview mirror. Tom, have you seen this phenomenon?
I'm going to have to keep an eye out for this. No, I have not yet. I've noticed people driving with the mask on, mm-hmm. right? And I've definitely noticed. I actually got eyeballed one day because I didn't have a mask on in my car. I was in the passenger seat. My wife was driving, and this woman was, I believe her name was Karen, was walking in front of us, and she just like kept staring and kept staring and kept staring, and then got to the point where she could see the side window and then nodded and kept walking. I'm like, were you checking to make sure my window wasn't down? And I was like,
she like had to let you know, it's like judgment, 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 relieved.
Okay. You have your window up. I guess I'll let you go this time.
Wow. Yeah. So it is, and it's not just, now it's definitely in the parked car phenomenon, and that I get, like if you see a car in the street, you're seeing the face mask on the window, and like,
yeah, sure,
I get that because it's a very visual reminder of like, you can confirm, like even as you're walking to the car, oh, I have my mask in there, stuff like that. The interesting thing is, so I was doing some research, and I have not seen this like blow up in like a there is no BuzzFeed quiz about where you should put your mask in your car yet. So I don't know if it's hit that level yet, but in my searches of the internet to validate the thingness of this, I have found a talk radio clip about if it's safe to hang your mask on the rearview mirror, whether that's going to damage it or if the heat will help like kill germs on it or something like that. And basically they're like, it's kind of fine. It might degrade over time if it's super sunny. But the other thing I also found was interesting is that driving with that is almost certainly illegal, technically. Much like driving with the handicap.
Because it blocks your view?
Yeah, it's just anything that blocks your view kind of at that eye level.
I guess that makes sense.
Is illegal. But my wife
so
pointed
no fuzzy
it out.
Dice.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably one of those things where they can't pull you over for it, but if they do, then they can give you an
if they pull you over, they can cite you for that as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I believe. I don't know. It all depends on your state. They said for sure New Jersey and Pennsylvania. This was in a separate illegal to hang your face mask from the rearview mirror. But I also think, I mean, certainly I think given that there are connotations and judgments, as you were saying, Tom, with masks and stuff like that, having the mask in the rearview mirror, maybe a signaling device for some people. But I know also, like, I would, like, we were talking before the show, I went to go sign for my tax place. I had to go up there and, like, physically sign some forms. And I was halfway there, and I realized I wasn't 100% that I had a mask. Like, I just jumped in the car, and I went, and I was like, oh, shoot, I might have to turn around. If I had the mask there,
right,
wouldn't have been an issue. So I can see the utility as well as, you know,
you could store it there, and then when you're ready to drive, either put it on or put it on the seat next to you or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, especially if you're like, I only ever go places in the car. That's not true of me, but a lot of people, that's true. So, in which case, you want the mask in there, although you should swap it out and wash it every so often.
Definitely.
But having it hanging if it's in the sun would help partially disinfect it. That's one of the things that I've seen recommended as, like, put your mask out into the sun, you know, to help disinfect it.
It's the sun tea of disinfectants.
Yes, the sun tea mask disinfection. So yeah, if you're not driving with it, I wouldn't want to drive it with. It would be annoying to drive with it hanging there. But I could see keeping it there.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just,
although,
yeah, it's weird. We're entering into this point where we are entering into mask culture now. As we've, you know, we're past the point of this is new. Like, right. So like we're almost at the point where we're gonna put up like a little command hook right next to where we hang our keys so that we can hang our masks right there since we need them when we need our keys. So
I have lived in places though where having anything visible in your car meant that someone would try to break in and get it. Do you think people would try to break in to steal a mask?
I mean, I do have some very nice handmade ones that have some intricate patterns, so I wouldn't put it past being lust worthy. I don't I'm not particularly worried.
Places I've lived doesn't even have to be that valuable. I like my wife's car got broken into once because her sweaty workout clothes were in the back.
Wow. I don't think, although if you did have one of those, what are the N95 respirator ones?
Oh, yeah,
those are in short enough supply that maybe that would be something. But that's kind of too heavy to put on the rear view, I think.
Well, all of this may just make you want to throw up your hands and leave. You're not alone. Moving short term is a thing that I have noticed from a few friends of mine where they are, in most cases, getting like a month-long Airbnb to just go try living somewhere else while they were working from home. In fact, my wife's boss is not in L.A. right now. He's off in one of the, I think, Mammoth. Just taking the family out of town to get him away and working. He's not taking the time off. So I've noticed this being a trend of people saying, you know what? I mean, if I have to work from home anyway, it kind of doesn't matter where my home is, right? Let me try moving to Austin. Let me try Seattle. You know, what's going on in Boston these days? Let me just see what it's like.
It is interesting. I do wonder, though, how representative that experience would be. I mean, certainly you'd get a feel for, the weather. Like, you would get the feel for some stuff, but I mean, like, in this particular time, like, you're not getting the full, like, if I did that in LA,
right,
I wouldn't get the full traffic experience.
Yes.
You also wouldn't get the same food culture. Like, moving to Austin, yeah, I mean, every place is doing, most places are doing
takeout.
You're
not going to get the bar scenes. Places.
Yeah, yeah, yep. You do, and a lot of the local shopping, you know, depending on how open that stuff is or just how comfortable it'd be. But I could also see that being like, okay, let me see if I'm going to move this. Also, my kids are going crazy over the summer just being locked up. So at least they'll have the novelty of being bored and watching TikTok in another time zone or something like that.
there's two different movements here. You're right. There's the people with kids going somewhere to just change up the scenery, right? So the kids aren't bored, but they're not probably going to move there. Then there's the people without kids or the single folks, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going out at all anyway. I might as well not go out in somewhere new and see what it's like. See if I like it.
I might as well enjoy quarantine in someone else's bed sheets for a month.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's kind of, not exactly, but it's kind of what Molly's doing right now instead of being on the show. She's changing her viewpoint.
Yeah, and especially because, for a lot of people, you're absolutely right, the remote work aspect of that completely changes the equation. And I do wonder if we will see more, I don't even want to call it mobility, but just because you're not tied to a specific location, even if it's not state to state or something like that, you know, if you're not having to worry about, oh man, this is going to double my commute, if people just consider a wider range of moving options in general, even after we're on the side of this and we're living in a more remote work friendly environment too.
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to happen, especially at places that have said they'll allow people to work from home semi-permanently, which a few companies have said, even after the COVID-19 has passed. So this is a time for people to try it out. Like, will I like rural Kansas? I don't know. Let me go live in a windy, drafty farmhouse in July and not in the middle of winter and see if I like it. No, I think this is great. And what Molly's doing is taking time off, which is also kind of a thing, like the semi-staycation, the nearby staycation, where I'm not staying in my actual area, but I am going somewhere close. But I'm definitely hearing more people saying, I'm going to go live in Portland for a month and, you know, try it out.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about the mass work from home is that, Tom, you and I have worked from home. I mean, you have obviously worked from home a little bit longer than I have. But like that, you realize that lack of a better term, self-care, because you have to be your own advocate for that working from home, because otherwise everyone will just assume you can just work all the time. And so like I feel like there is this is part of that newfound appreciation of being like, no, I have to definitely carve out, even if I'm working, carve out some time to like keep myself mentally and physically fresh as well.
Yeah. Speaking of fresh.
Yeah. Speaking of fresh, actually, this will probably make you feel horrible afterwards. But all right. My second thing is nacho tables. Now,
I'm in.
Let me back this up. This comes from this Aldi Facebook group that my wife frequents, that I am now slowly getting roped into. It actually belongs to a website. I did not realize this. It's thealdinerd.com. That site has not been updated in over a year, but the Facebook group is vibrant with over 1.2 million people that are
Aldi is a
to it.
Grocery store chain,
yes,
for Aldi those who don't know, and it is owned by the same parent company that owns Trader Joe's.
This is correct. They have big presences in the UK and in Europe and stuff like that. And at least in the United States, or the ones that I frequent, it's a lot of it's one of these places where, like, you kind of have to do all the shelving yourself, right? Like, all the facing. They don't really do that because then you're not paying for it. And they also have just, like, a big aisle of closeouts. And so this is kind of a combination of that. The taco table is essentially lining a table with some sort of either foil or some sort of plastic placemat and putting out either the entire, like, a row of nachos, like a 6 foot long row of nachos, and then either dividing those to each party with toppings that are just resting, not in bowls, just resting on the table for you to have, or they will fully decorate and suit up the nachos kind of in that row. Again, there's no, the only covering is on the table for you to enjoy. And this is, at first I saw this as a taco table. Do not Google taco table, because you will just get little tables and little plates that hold tacos. Mm. Very useful. But the nacho table is most definitely a thing. There, I've seen numerous outlets covering the wonderful debauch that is the taco table. And, you said you're on board immediately from hearing nacho table. Has my description of it made you more or less curious?
I am already in and have not left.
Yeah, TRS 201. It is kind of like a seafood boil, but part of it is, at least from what I'm seeing, and again, this is like any, any of those food video things. Why can't I think of Yum? Not Yumly. That's a whatever. Any of those tasty videos, right? Where it's like half of it is the preparation of it. Part of it is doing the time lapse of you laying out all the nachos, you know, putting down the refried beans and the cheese and the olives. And
how do you
like
handle
that.
The cheese? That's the part I'm curious
this is,
about.
I,
are they doing, you know, ballpark nacho cheese? Is that how they, that's the only way this works, right?
I also imagine like the best part of the nacho table is like looking at it before you actually start doing any of the mechanics that are involved in it. I also find it kind of weird that this is a very communal experience, right? The idea is you all gather around a table.
This is obviously for families right
well,
now.
But,
like this,
but I would think it's actually for parties, right?
Like, well, yeah, but people can't have parties, so.
So we're making our ordinary food into a party. Maybe,
well,
maybe that's...
if you live in a house with 5 to 10 people, which is something that people have going on, then this is great, right? This is a way to like shake things up and change it.
Yeah, and then as someone who is extremely sick of washing kid dishes, at least you don't have to worry about that for
right.
one
no
meal
dishes.
As a result. You
yeah.
just kind of
it's
wrap
super
up
fun
the foil.
For the kids to be like, oh my gosh, the table is covered in nachos. This is amazing. Yeah, I'm all in on this. Like we've made nachos a million times during mm-hmm. this lockdown. The only problem I'm having, the only hang up I'm having is my way of making nachos is to heat the chips and the cheese in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
Then
oh, okay.
you pull that out and you add the beans which you've heated on the stove. And then you add the guac and the sour cream and all the rest, right? So this nacho table looks like you're drizzling cheese. So you're going to have to use a different kind of cheese. And
yeah.
not an actual like nacho three cheese blend that you melt in the oven. It's going to have to be it's going to have to be queso, right?
Like this is not for me. This is too chaotic for my food taste.
Oh no, I love that. I like once I bring myself, you know, into the world of like it's Velveeta, you know, it's it's fine. Once I've adapted to that, my only problem is I'm like, why are they keeping the sour cream, the guac, and the tomatoes separate in separate bowls?
Yeah, just
pour all that stuff out too. Just make the whole table the bowl.
If you're going to go for this food cacophony, just go whole hog. Yeah, just I mean even like. as long as you had like a beanier salsa or a less not liquid kind of restaurant style salsa, as long as you had a salsa.
Yeah, yeah, it's got to be a California style chopped tomato salsa. Sure.
Yes.
That makes sense.
That would work. But I mean, I'm trying to think now, if you made some sort of just even rudimentary border around the table, then you really have all your options on the table.
Well, they're putting aluminum foil down, so you could actually like...
Oh, yeah, you could just roll the foil up. Yeah.
Tom. Double lay it. Yeah.
We want your pictures of your nacho tables. Send them in to feedback at It's a Thing.
All right, let's get to, speaking of that email address, your things that have been sent to us, keep them coming. Like Fordo. Fordo wrote, on being humbled. Instead of people just saying they're thankful or honored or appreciative or whatever for something, why do they have to go and wreck everything by saying they're also humbled? Or am I missing something? Should I be more humbled by things? Am I like Brad Pitt and missing a sensitivity chip? I love that guy, by the way. Or a sociopath? What the heck is everyone all of a sudden so humbled by in situations that they never previously found to be humbling? I remember when the humble brag came into being. R.I.P. Harris Whittles. So being faux humbled is a part of that, but people now are talking like they are seriously humbled by stuff, like they actually mean it, and they aren't being called out for humble bragging. I just do not get it. And of course, the obligatory prayer hands is often part of all the new humblings. I just realized I may have sounded like a real jerk. Sorry about that if I did. No, I don't think you sounded like a jerk, Fordo. But she goes on to say, if a random on Twitter tells you your sourdough challah has a nice twist and glaze to it, why can't you just thank them? Why are so many people saying they're humbled, prayer hands, by the compliment of a total stranger?
I will say that the prayer hands annoys me far. The overuse of prayer hands. I have no problem if you throw out a random prayer hands every once in a while. The overuse of that is insanely aggravating. I will admit, I sometimes will throw out the humbled. And it to me, it breaks up that kind of that's kind of like obligatory, like, please, thank you kind of interaction. Like, it's just for variety's sake.
You want to show that you didn't just... you know, auto type something.
Yes. Yeah.
That you
Gmail
gave
is
it
not
a mild
humbled.
Amount of thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think what Fordo is rightly pointing out is humbled has now become the thing that makes it look like you haven't thought about it.
This is true. Yes. Over humbling is really a sign of ego. And
being humbled, no longer a thing. That's what Fordo's submitting here. I think she may be right.
Excellent. Excellent. Another Jay Martin wrote in on salt. He starts out, hey, Molly, Tom, and Rich. Thank you, another Jay Martin. Regarding salt on melon, I have heard about this, but never tried it, although occasionally I do love putting salt on bananas. That is something I have not heard of. A few months ago, I got some Mexican chile lime seasoning from thespicehome.com because the description said it could be put on apples for a spicy flavoring. The seasoning is dried chilies, cayenne pepper, paprika, lime juice powder, salt, and sugar. This is editorial note, all the greatest hits. It has, it's fine on apples, but since apple season ended, I haven't used it much. A few weeks ago, my wife got watermelon, and the description also suggested putting it on that. That is so good! It's salty, spicy, sweet, and sour all at once. And I'm intrigued. Sincerely, another J. Martin.
Yes, thespicehouse.com. The Mexican chili lime seasoning. That just makes everything nacho lime flavored.
It's kind of on the other end of the everything bagel seasoning, where if you want everything to taste like a bagel, that's fantastic. If you want everything to taste like chili lime, that sounds amazing as well.
I agree. RJ also has salt and pepper thoughts. Your recent discussion of putting salt on food brought back memories of when I was a kid. I remember eating watermelon with seeds. This is back when watermelon had seeds, kids. And having the salt shaker handy to add salt to it. We also added salt to fresh tomatoes in the summer. We totally did that too. Today, I add pepper to my fresh tomatoes. When my mother would peel potatoes, she would give me pieces of raw peeled potato after she rinsed it off with water and the salt shaker. It was great. The potato being a little bit wet helped the salt stick to it. We also added salt and sometimes pepper to raw hamburg. When I was very young, I remember my father adding salt to his beer. I definitely remember that too. You could see the salt sinking into the beer and causing it to bubble up and give the beer a head. Of course, he also let me drink some, so it was great. My father added pepper to a lot of his food, which I do today. He used to go add pepper to V8, which at some point became a thing since they now sell V8 with pepper in it.
I have a father that does the tomato juice with pepper as well. And the salt with beer thing is a thing that I don't understand, but is a thing also.
Yep.
As well.
Yep. I don't know that I quite understand it other than it makes the foam. And we as a culture moved away from foam being a good thing. But there was a point when people, you know, wanted a beer with a head on it because they liked the look of it, I guess.
I mean, if you want, just pour your beer in completely sideways and congrats. You
yeah, have and you'll get that you'll ever easily. Want. Yeah.
And finally, Allie wrote in on free stuff. She says, I just listened to your most recent episode, and one of the things you talked about is the boxes of giveaway stuff in people's yard / driveway. This weekend, while I was walking around my neighborhood, I saw a fence covered with a bunch of clothing on hangers for people to take. I also recently joined my neighborhood Buy Nothing Facebook group, where people post things they're giving away or looking for. Buy Nothing has been around for a while, but I'm thinking it might be becoming more of a thing since donation centers are mostly closed. I've also found myself scrolling through the page as entertainment and find it to be a much happier reflection of my neighborhood than next door typically is. She links to buynothingproject.org.
That's interesting that the Buy Nothing Project becomes nicer because people have a focus. I think that is one of the problems with open forums. When there isn't a purpose, people tend to just start complaining. I mean, mm-hmm. that's just true of any conversation you've ever had with anyone if you don't have a focus, you know? So that's an interesting way to be like, hey, get to know your neighbors in a nicer way. I like that. And yeah, I think it's all of those things. I think it's people having more time to clean out. When I went to my dentist, he was talking about the months when he wasn't allowed to have his dentistry open. And he's like, I got really tired of cleaning my garage. And I think a lot of people were like that. So yeah, it's like it's a combination of that with either the donation center isn't open or people just don't want to go. Even if it was open, they'd be like, you know what? I don't want to go interact with people. Let me just put this on the side of the road. So yeah, it's interesting.
The only thing is you can't get your tax deductible receipt from Buy Nothing that you can totally use for your taxes.
No, you're part of that. You're outside the system, man. The man doesn't know what you're doing. Yeah.
No one uses those Goodwill receipts. Let's face it.
All right, folks, we are joined today by the master of the shout out. We always mention our producer, Rich, who creates these shout outs. Rich, what have you created for us today?
Yeah, so these are all themed around regal stylings, mostly around European ones.
Like style as in he styles himself Duke of Edinburgh.
Yes, or the,
like that yes, kind of style.
The Marquis of blah blah blah, something like that.
Which always sounds to the modern ear like he's pretending, but it just means like the style of his introduction should be, or his introduction should be in the style of.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So Tom, if you could take it away and we'll go from there.
His Imperial and Royal Apostolic Majesty Eric Duncan.
His Serene Highness, Jake Woods.
Her Most Christian Majesty, Gabrielle Cohen.
Esther Pena, by the grace of God, Dowager Empress of the Romans.
Oh, that's good. Most High, Most Potent, and Excellent Prince, Andrew Wyatt.
His Serene and Illustrious Highness, Mike Akins.
His Most Eminent Highness, Louis Saint-Amour.
And now for a full disclosure here, Brad Sparks sent a message to our email and asked for his shout out to be donated this week.
Oh, so, wow. Tom, that's very nice, Brad.
Tom, if you could take it away.
Fordo, first of her name, Queen of the Andals, the Rhoynar, and the First Men, Lady of the Seven Kingdoms, and Protector of the Realm, Lady of Dragonstone, Queen of Marine, Khaleesi of the Great Grass Sea, the Unburnt Breaker of Chains, and Mother of Dragons. Fordo.
I mean, I felt like that went without saying.
Yeah.
So thank you to everyone, all of our patrons, all of our listeners, everyone that is supporting the show. You can become a member of the It's a Thing Patreon and get access to cool stuff like our Discord, get involved in the chat there, and you can get a ad-free RSS feed and more. Patreon.com/It's a Thing.
And don't forget, we love reading your things. Keep them coming. Feedback at itsathing.me.
We'll talk to you again next time. See you later.
Bye. I'm speaking lies.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.